listening to Cents Per Mile with your host, Charles Gracie, and his co-host, Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes, and I have a face. Guys, what are we talking about on today's episode?
We are talking about relationships over call times.
So it's the idea of, is it better to worry about how many drivers you could call because you're on the phone like super fast? Or is it better to actually take the time and get to know the candidate that took the time to reach out to you?
Well, I mean, you look at this and we've talked about how relationships matter. And I think, yes, call times do lead into conversations that build relationships, but we're going to break this down and see which one should be measured and which one should be the more dominant measurement in the recruiting process.
Yep, it's going to be a blast. All right, Charles, real quick, you want to talk about our sponsor for today?
Decker Truck Lines. They're driven to be the best. Check them out at deckertruckline.com.
All right, cool. Well, with that being said, it is time for our first segment, 10-2 News. All right, so our first news story today is about cops in the state of California are now required, whenever they pull you over for a traffic stop, to tell you why they pulled you over first. They're not allowed to walk up and say, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" They have to clearly now state why they pulled you over before they start asking you questions, which I think is going to be really interesting in a lot of situations. And save a lot of people from telling on themselves and getting pulled into extra fines and fees.
I always like when they like, "Why do you think I pulled you over?" And like, "I'm not going to answer this."
Right. And so, cool. And so the next one is tolls for truck drivers, but not passenger vehicles, just tolls for trucks, are going up in Illinois.
It's Illinois, man. Like, are we shocked on this one? It's my favorite state, as everyone knows.
I mean, I know it is. You know, you still get some love for Chicago. I know you do, just because you're in Chattanooga.
Their pizza, their beef, but not their taxes and tolls.
Yeah, yeah, and something about how Chattanooga has 73-degree weather in the winter, blah, blah, blah. I get it.
And it's the number one place for millennials to retire.
Well, but also at the same time, I mean, how do you feel about them singling? I understand that like the weight of trucks can cause more wear and, you know, trucks are constantly on the road, but I mean, I feel like they tried that. They did that in like Pennsylvania and other places. Like, what is there really a justification to do that?
So like every good thing in Illinois, they tried to tax sugary beverages and that lasted until an uproar of people complained about it. And then they took it away. So I just assume that they're picking on this because it's a smaller demographic and there's not enough people to raise enough attention to get this changed, because I think everyone should be paying the same road rates that traveled equally.
Yeah. I mean, especially in that Chicago traffic, there's a lot of four wheelers.
Maybe now with more money going to it, they can fix those potholes that you can bury a loved one in.
That being said, another Midwest state, Iowa, introduced two new CMV inspection facilities. They're real nice. The truck can actually pull in into a temperature controlled area for the inspection to be done. They have 24/7 bathrooms. And you know, obviously there's going to be a couple spots to park. As a former driver, how would you feel about parking at a fancy inspection area?
I feel like it's a commercial vehicle jail. Here's your bathroom. Here's the walls. You know, all they're going to do is hand you a jumpsuit with a number and it'll be the complete.
Yeah. It just seems, you know, it's got some Admiral Akbar feels. It's like, it's a trap.
Well, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a trap for a semi truck, but I can't imagine that it would be nicer to do that inside a controlled climate, because nothing was fun about going around and walking around the vehicle, at least for the person doing the inspection. For the driver, it was kind of beneficial that you're out in the cold. That guy's going to hurry up and walk around a little faster, get done.
Now they can take their time. All right. Well, it's time for our next segment, This Week in Recruiting. All right, so it's time for This Week in Recruiting, where we ask Charles how it's been this week in recruiting.
You know, listen, we had that big class that we talked about, or some people didn't have that big class they talked about, but this year is an election year. So the things that we're doing in recruiting are going to have to be changed up a little bit. Historically, a lot of recruiting departments have funneled all their money into Facebook and social media. But if you look at those categories where employment offers go, it's in the same special ad category as political ads. And guess who has more money on a lot of that stuff? So, I mean, carriers are being faced to have to come to terms with this and allocate some of their budgets to places that have job boards or private audiences like CDL Life. Outside of that, they're going to have to look at some things that outside of just Facebook. And I think that's a good thing. I see a lot of movement on other platforms, and I'm not necessarily sold that Facebook is the end all be all. I think it's kind of like the Craigslist of social media at this point.
Well, but also I would you could make the argument that politicians also don't think that Facebook is the end all be all. So I feel like on just about every other platform, everywhere you go, there's somebody that's like, my opponent is terrible. And then someone's calling someone else a Marxist and someone's calling someone a fascist. And it's just.
And then your job ad goes in there right in between.
Everything is terrible. I'm going to make it better. Also, we're going to make it better. Apply here. You know, that's great. You know, that really puts people in the mood to look at your ad. But I mean, at that point, like, I would actually wonder, I mean, is it just a necessary evil? Is it something you can get around? Or is it better to just maintain the course of what you were doing and kind of hold your nose through that situation?
You know, I've tried both ways. I always like to experiment. And when they made all these special categories way back yonder and all that stuff that hindered people from targeting locations, demographics, all that fun jazz, it really restricted the ability to target the audience that you're trying to get in front of. And trucking is a location-specific job. You need to bring people in from a certain area, and they say no, that's discrimination. It's not. It's I need someone from this area so I could take care of this load. But when it comes to the marketing platforms, I've tried different things, and what I've seen work is actually keeping it, you know, still present on there, but you're getting drowned out with political ads. You're getting drowned out with all this other nonsense that's happening in this election year. Going out and trying something new, going outside of that normal basket that you're operating within is actually a good thing. I've seen great results from it. Like I said, I've got drivers that have reached out through Snapchat. I love job boards during this time. Job boards are fantastic options during this time where you're not paying to compete with Republicans and Democrats for space on Facebook. You're strictly going on there and applying your offer to as many drivers that are on that job board as possible. So I think it's one of those things where if people utilize these things during this time, they're actually going to come out ahead and use it like you do Craigslist. That's what I do. I still place a Craigslist ad. I just don't dump my whole budget into it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know what I mean? I mean, diversification's always been important. One thing that I was thinking, and I may or may not have some experience with doing this one time. What do you think about a company making ads to, you know, get truck drivers to apply in the style of a political ad?
I think it's awesome. And I think adding that kind of character or culture that you can have fun without making it politically charged just speaks volumes to the audience that you're trying to attract, and you're going to attract more people that can relate to that. You know, if you're one of those companies that are really hardcore on your values and want to put that out there, I think it's important. And if you can have fun while doing so, why not? I could just see you, you know, like in an Uncle Sam costume, like, I want you. I would come and apply.
I'm thinking like full on, like, as you know, much as I'm about positivity and, you know, working together and stuff. I don't know, man. I think if a company gets out there and they literally run a campaign, like they're running a campaign to get drivers to apply for them in a way where they're just showing how much better they are than other people. I mean, I know that's kind of the goal, but if you do it like explicitly, like a campaign, and like kind of talk about the evils of, you know, the industry at the same time and how you're different, I think that would be a huge hit.
You just gave me an idea. We could do a carrier debate right here on Cents Per Mile.
If anybody's open to that, I know that's a little edgy, but we would love to host a carrier debate. Wow.
Do the trucking companies not already do political ads? I mean, they're promising a whole bunch of things to the drivers, the people, and then they just don't deliver like a politician.
Well, not all of them. Some of them deliver. It's like a small percentage, but there's still some that deliver.
Well, I mean, it's all about perspective, Josh. They all do. They all deliver. That's what they do. They just might not. They deliver freight, not promises. All right, well, it's time to talk about our main topic and our main segment, Makes Sense. So today we are talking about relationships versus call times. So is it better, like we said at the beginning of the show, to build a relationship with the candidate who calls you on the phone, you know, with that driver, get to know them, get to know what they need? Or is it, you know, where is the balance between spending 2 hours to get to know somebody on the phone, you know, that might ghost you, that might not, or actually getting on to other calls? Because as we all know, recruiting is somewhat of a crapshoot, and the more shots you take, the more chances you have to win. So we're going to talk about what that balance looks like.
Oh, and it is a balance. I think both have value. You know, you're never going to be able to build those relationships unless you're covering that ground. So you're going to have to make those calls. You're going to have those conversations. But when is the point of volume over quality come into effect? And I think that's kind of relative to each individual recruiter and relationship. When I'm recruiting, I'm aiming for a conversation when I first get on the phone with the driver that's going to be 5 minutes or more. I want to achieve 5 minutes. I need 5 minutes to start that relationship, to get to know that driver, to cover enough bases to make sure that it's a fit. But then after that, I'm not really setting a timer, whether that driver's concerns could be addressed in 20 minutes or 2 hours. I've done both. Obviously, 2 hours becomes a battle of endurance, but sometimes it takes that. You might have to talk to the wife. You might have to talk to the kids. I've done both. I can't tell you how many driver's wives I've talked to in the interview process, but happy wife, happy life, you know, whatever works. This individual needs some clarity on things that individuals wife might have questions because they're leaving for weeks to days at a time and they want security, and it's not the most secure market to be hopping around.
Yeah. And in my experience, when I first started, obviously, you know, I was getting the hang of everything. And my call times were like 45 minutes on average, you know, cause I would sit there and just, you know, you learn that, like, I mean, drivers want to talk. A lot of drivers want to talk. And then, I mean, that comes from, you know, some isolationism on the road. Obviously they do have a lot of questions because it is a big move and that kind of thing. And eventually they went down. But when I first started, and I think that was actually good for me that I got to work somewhere where they weren't like, all right, you have 10 minutes per phone call that you need to try and, you know, maintain.
You must close this driver. Timer starts now.
Right. And I actually learned more about the industry with those long call times than I would have ever learned, you know, trying to rush through it. But at the same time, eventually they did go down. And, you know, as terrible as this might sound and insincere, I started to realize that, like, it's okay to leave stuff for other conversations, you know, kind of like a, you know, leave almost on a cliffhanger, like, oh, I would love to talk to you about that. But I do have to go real quick.
It's not speed dating. You don't need to get it all out in one conversation. And I'm guessing, you know, that transition for you, it was a little different, because when I first got out of the truck and moved into the office, I was just that same way. I was having those long conversations. My father, who worked for me before he retired, former driver and became a recruiter, and he was a little up there in the age. At the time, he was in his 70s. I had to remind him that he's supposed to recruit them, not just make friends. He thought it was like a digital truck stop. And just, he was having 45 minute to 3 hour conversation. I'm like, oh, so did you get an application? And he's like, oh, I need that, don't I? And I'm like, yeah. So it was one of those things where, you know, all of a sudden you have that epiphany that there's an agenda, there's a goal in the conversation. But I don't think it's a bad thing to have a quality conversation. Me personally, I train my staff to have those conversations, find out three personal things in that first conversation about the driver. I'm less interested in you pitching the job in that first 5 to 10 minute conversation than I am about you finding out about the driver and asking those personal questions and then opening up that relationship. But speaking of relationships, we got someone interesting coming in, Paul.
Oh, who do we have?
Jenna from Autumn Transport to help us break down relationships over call times.
Hey, Jenna, how's it going?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for the intro, Charles.
How's it going? You're here on Cents Per Mile. I mean, I feel like I should be wearing my Autumn Transport swag.
You definitely should have been. So you said it, not me.
Missed opportunities.
No, I've been a fan of you guys for a long time. I'm super thankful you guys asked me to be on. Thanks.
Well, we're talking relationships over call times. And you and I have had some really good conversations about, one, thanks for being a supporter of the show, but two, just exactly that. You guys do things a little different over there. And I thought it would be a good fit to have you come on regarding this topic because your drivers are out there promoting the company for you. I mean, I had one at my house and he was handing me swag cups, telling me how great it was. I mean, that's a relationship. I imagine it took some work to get to that point.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about like how you have to be as a recruiter, if you're going to have that relationship in the back of your head or if it's going to be those call times, I think it really starts with what are the goals of your company? You know, our goal is to grow, but also we have family plastered on our wall. It's family is the most important thing. And so I am able to establish those relationships here. I don't have that crazy pressure of how many minutes did I talk on the phone? How many calls did I make this week or this month? So I got super lucky to join Autumn with those values because I feel like they're really aligned with like me as a person too. I came from a retail management background where we were expected to be very cold. Like if someone requested Christmas off to go on a trip with their family, sometimes we said no because the business, you know, was the main priority, which I totally understand, but it just didn't feel right. And so being here, super good fit that we're able to build those relationships.
And I imagine it's working out pretty well. Like I said, we came across Chris Thomas and he's always advocating for your guys' company. And it seems like it's not one of those companies where it's like, we say we're family. And like Paul likes to say, you know, that means you owe us money and see us once a year. It almost felt like it is a family. Like everyone's talking to the ownership. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone has everyone's contact information. So tell me a little bit about during that recruiting process. You said that you don't have quotas and stuff. So you're focused on that relationship. So what's that look like for you when you're trying to build that during those first initial couple calls?
I, like you kind of said, that first 5 minutes you kind of establish, you just kind of start the call. And I really just gauge what they're looking for. It's all about, you know, is this a good fit? We really don't talk about the job really at all right away. Because I think it's just a fun conversation. I don't know if it's just who I am as a person. I think I bring out the conversation in people, really easily, but I ask about their family. If I don't know their dog's name, that was a failed call. You know, if I don't know how many kids they have, like what they're looking for home time and what works best for their family, not successful. So I am encouraged to learn those things. That has just really worked for me.
You would almost be going through a quiz if I was a driver and you needed to know my dog's names because I got three. I'd be pop quizzing you on that one. But I definitely agree with that because it checks the box of what I think is important in the process, which is forming that relationship, connecting those dots, as you've heard before, finding someone's problems, and then how can you be a solution? That's bringing an immediate value to a relationship. So when you're identifying those problems, what's some of the biggest things that you're seeing that Autumn Transport and yourself are addressing for these drivers?
Yeah, I mean, some of the top things, of course, with the way that last year went and just the different things we saw in the market, money. I asked them straight up, what do you need every week to make your ends meet? What makes sense for you? And I have no problem telling someone, you're not a good fit. You know, your expectations are too high. We do a really good job here of not overselling and then overpromising and then under delivering, right? So that's one thing. We're going to be super upfront here. I don't lie. That's just not okay. When I trained here, just a little over 2 years ago when I started, some of the things I heard Mark, the other recruiter that I work with, saying blew me away. I was like, I'm actually supposed to tell someone that what they're looking for is not us. Like, that's just being super honest. And so that, yeah, we do that. Second thing is finding a truck. The second question I always hear is like, I need to lease a truck. I don't own a truck. How do I get into a truck? We're all owner operators here. We offer a lease purchase ownership program. Our program is built to make our drivers succeed. So we offer that and truly make dreams come true. We have drivers pay off trucks every single year.
And you guys are kind of a niche market.
Yep. A bulk market. Yep. So yeah, it's definitely unique. I look at the long term, right? Like you were talking to Chris, one of our owner operators. When I look at the long term on some of the things that, when I keep in mind long term when I'm talking to candidates, it's like I see the payoff from that. They send me their people. I network. I get amazing referrals. I think 70% of our hires last year were from like knew someone that worked with Autumn or used to work with Autumn. So it so pays off in the long run, being honest and building the rapport and knowing that, truly knowing that driver.
And you got some sweet swag. It helps when you're out there.
Doesn't hurt. Drivers love their swag. I've learned that really, really fast. So yeah, we definitely use that a little bit to our advantage. So
no, it is. And I appreciate you taking the time. You know, we've had some good conversations, but it was great to get you on the show. I look forward to bringing you back. If someone wanted to get a hold of you guys, how would they do so?
You can check out our website, autumntransport.com. We're all over social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter, at Autumn Transport. Or you could just call recruiting straight. That'd be great.
Thanks for coming on Sons Per Mile, Jenna, and talk to you next show.
Heck yeah, guys. Good luck.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to orientation.
Tired of getting ghosted? Hire smarter with CDL Life's high-end 10 engine. Get started today.
All right, now it's time for On Location, where we talk to somebody who's on location who's actually doing the job. Not that Jenna wasn't, I guess, but today we have Josh Mecca, from the Director of Recruiting from Grammar Logistics.
And full disclaimer, we both have an equal love for Josh, so I'm excited to have him on the show. We're gonna have to edit that out, Josh. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Appreciate y'all having me on the show today.
So, speaking about life in recruiting, Josh, we're talking about relationships over call times, and you're somebody that's huge into the relationship side of things, but there's a balance. So from your experience, where you're at right now, what are you looking for when you're trying to evaluate these?
Well, I'm going to start off by saying, you know, the cost of onboarding is expensive. And by that statement, I'm going to clarify that I don't mean just for the company. I mean, for the driver as well. You look at the cost of what a driver's impact to their wallet, to their family's bank account by switching jobs, that's a big number. And that is lost paycheck to that candidate. So obviously they're moving because of, you know, whatever their reasons are. So when a candidate calls into us, I want my team to make sure that we're the right fit for that candidate, but we also need to make sure that they're the right fit for what we're looking for as well. I mean, that's a very mutual relationship. So, you know, we do measure our times on phone calls, and, you know, we do have certain numbers that we hit to it. I do expect applications and everything. But most importantly, I want to make sure that we're the best mutual fit. And then we'll even follow that up with another phone call where my day-to-day operations teams will talk with that candidate before we even make a go forward or not go forward decision. Again, because we just want to make sure that we're the fit for what that candidate's looking for the combination of home time, miles, paycheck, you know, everything that's important to the drivers.
So that's pretty standard and not all everywhere executed from my experience. Everyone can say it, but not everyone does it. So what's some of the ways that you guys use, and yourself included, to make sure that we're building those relationships? So what does that look like in the initial phase for you guys?
So for us, really, it comes down to, I mean, that initial conversation with my recruiters. You establish that rapport. You establish that we know what we're doing because we're experienced with the company. We know the company inside and out. And most importantly, my favorite response to a candidate is, I don't know, but I know someone who does, and I can get you that answer. You know, being full, honest, you know, and upfront. I listen to phone calls. I mean, all of our phone calls are recorded. So I hold my team accountable to that. And you guys know me as well as anybody that if I have a recruiter who's not upholding that standard, I don't have a spot for them on my team anymore. I don't have a tolerance for any sort of deception, overpainting, any of that type of stuff, because this industry is hard enough as it is. There's enough windshield time. There's enough lost in your thought time that the last thing I want is my recruiter told me, I got recruited by the military coming out of high school. I understand what that's like. I wasn't able to join, but my ROTC instructor when I was in high school told me you can tell a recruiter's lying because his lips are moving. And that is something that has stuck with me to the point of I just don't have a tolerance for that. It's a hard enough game. If the message that my recruiter tells the candidates matches what that candidate hears in orientation, matches what they see their first month, their first 6 months with us, then I know I'm going to get referrals. And that's where that trust is established. That's where I see my trust come back to me through referrals, calling back in. Hey, I got a buddy who's driving for y'all. I want to join too. It just comes back to that full cycle and echo on, what was said earlier about it all comes down to that referral, right? We get the referrals because they trust us.
Well, I think referrals are kind of the ultimate badge of honor, knowing that you did it right. Because who's going to go out there to their friend and say, hey, my job sucks. You should come work here unless you're working for Pittsburgh.
You beat me to it. I was going to say Pittsburgh does that.
but that actually stands out like that. So those of you that have not seen the Pittsburgh, like, Google it. It comes up. Paul did a great shtick on what that looks like. But that is exactly what does not happen. Like, I'm not going to go out there and say, hey, we're best friends. My job sucks and I'm broke. Come work here. But if the recruiter did their job and I came in and I'm happy and I'm hitting all those boxes that I was promised, I'm going to ask my friends to come over here, because what kind of friend would I be if I sat there and hoarded all the goodness that someone had to offer? But if you suck, if you lied, if you were deceitful during the process, well, then, yeah, I'm probably going to be looking for those people that are happy at their jobs and trying to figure out if they're hiring.
All right, real quick, I'm going to cut in with a quick question. Just because we bonded, and this is kind of sidestepping to something else, but we bonded over building relationships with drivers and that being like our primary what moves us forward as recruiters. And we're kind of talking about relationships versus call times. Obviously, you can't talk to everybody forever, but it is good to build that relationship on the phone. My question is, how do you handle it when you're talking to a driver who's clearly not going to be a good fit because of hiring area or whatever, but like their stories are amazing and they're so fun to talk to? How do you handle that with time management?
Man, that's the tough question, isn't it? Because you want to hear those stories. But at the same token, we do have to be the gatekeepers for our companies. And at some point we do have to say, hey, let's reconnect in the future. Maybe we'll be a better fit down the road. Take that approach with it. I'm not a huge fan of just like cutting people off. I don't like doing that, because that to me just sends the wrong message entirely. But there is a moment where you do have to say, hey, I've got a great day. Have fun. We'll see you in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of when you like send them a Facebook friend request and you keep those conversations going.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a minute. But it's really good to see you.
Yeah, y'all too.
All right. So if anyone wanted to get a hold of you or were interested in what you were offering, how would they get a hold of you?
So check us out on grammarlogistics.com and get all over the social channels. Find me on LinkedIn. I've got a decent presence there. So feel free to track me down, shoot me a text, phone call, whatever you need to do. I can be found.
All right, gentlemen, it is time to get out of here. So let's send this episode into the books.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.